All right, back to Genesis 44 now. This is approximately in the middle of the story of Joseph, or somewhere thereabouts. And that's significant because this is, hard to say, the most important message, but this is certainly the clearest picture of the gospel and our redemption. This right here. The cup in the son's sack. Now, Benjamin is the type of Christ here in this story. Benjamin, the beloved son. Now remember, go back to chapter 43. Remember, all the blessings that Joseph conferred on those sorry brothers were because of Benjamin. Remember that? All the blessings, all the favor, all the goodness that he showed them was for Benjamin's sake. Chapter 43, verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, these no good sons of Jacob, who had sold him, who had rejected him, who hated him, who wanted to kill him, they came back. But when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home. All of them, and kill the fatted calf. Make ready. These men are going to dine with me." Why? Because Benjamin was with them, the beloved son. And so it is. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, in Christ. All we are, we sorry sons of Jacob. All we are and all we have is for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. His righteousness imputed to us and his blood to atone for our sin. All right. These brothers were going back home again. They were leaving. Joseph, do you remember the story? Joseph was sending them home. Verse 1, chapter 44. It says, Joseph commanded the steward of his house. The steward of Joseph's house did everything Joseph commanded. He was Joseph's steward. He was the steward of Joseph. He did everything. He did all of Joseph's bidding. While Joseph sat on the throne, the steward did everything for him. And this steward is the Holy Spirit, picture of the Spirit of Christ. He commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry." fill them up. The Scripture says, David said in the Psalms, "Thy blessings are more than can be numbered." He said in another place, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth me with benefit." It says they were laden down with good. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth me with benefits, even the God of our salvation." As much as they can carry. Now it doesn't say as much as they can store. That as much as they can carry. All right, now he said this too. He commanded, he sent the command, "Fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry." And they brought money for this food, he said. They brought gifts, you remember? They brought gifts and they brought money to Joseph. He said, "Put every man's money back in his sack's mouth. Everything they brought, give it back." (Laughter) Lord always returns everything we give with interest. Always. Does he not? You sons of Jacob, tell me. Does he not? You don't outgive the Lord. He doesn't need it anyway. But it's a trial to us. He always gives it back. Always. Well, then they leave. And what he does here, Joseph, Joseph in his wisdom. Now, from the very first day he saw these men, he knew what he was going to do. Known unto Joseph were all his works from the very beginning. The minute he saw these sons of Jacob come to him, he knew what he was going to do with them. Because remember, we talked about how he loved them. They were sorry sons, yet he loved them. And from the moment he saw them, he had purposed. He was devising his plan and his purpose to reveal himself to them. Okay? But these men would not have appreciated Joseph. These men would not have loved Joseph. These men would not have bowed to Joseph. These men would not have submitted to Joseph had he revealed himself to them right away. Had they not first come to know his power, his glory, his might, his justice, his anger against sin, these men had to be absolutely, thoroughly, completely broken, brought down to the point where they were without excuse, without a word of defense on their own behalf. They had to be completely stripped of all their goodness, of all their merit. Remember, they started arguing, "Oh, well, we're good men. We're all true men." Yeah, right. There wasn't one of them a true man. Well, they had to realize this. And Joseph, in his wisdom, this is God's word, and that's it. It's amazing. But Joseph, in his wisdom, purposed this whole thing to bring these men down to the point where they were absolutely at his mercy. All right? And the way he finally does this, the way he finally breaks them totally, is by laying all the blame on the beloved son Benjamin. And this was it finally that broke them down. And is that not what God uses finally? Is that not the goodness of God that leads us to repentance finally? Huh? God making the beloved son guilty on our behalf. My. The wisest plan. The wisest plan known to man. Oh, Joseph is our Lord, isn't it? All right, and after this, right after they are totally broken and at the feet of Joseph without excuse, and Benjamin says, Joseph reveals himself in love. And boy, they thought he did something for them before. And after he reveals himself to them, oh, sky was not the limit. All right, verse 2. Now here's the story. Here's the plan. Joseph said in wisdom, "Put my cup, the silver cup." Why wouldn't it gold? Why wouldn't it brass? Why wouldn't it copper? Why wouldn't it a wooden cup? Why wouldn't it an earthen cup? Why silver? You know that? You'll find it. All right, put my cup, yes, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did, Stuart did all this. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Now, Benjamin was innocent. Wasn't it? Before all this, he was at home with the father. He was daily with the father. He was daily his delight. Sound familiar? Proverbs 8. He was with the father from the beginning. How these rotten sons of Jacob were doing their sorry sinning. And in the good fullness of time, though, his son was sent. But he was innocent. He was innocent of transgression. He was separate from these sons of Jacob. Harmless, undefiled, separate from these sons. But Joseph is going to make him guilty for these fellows in their stead. All right? Does that sound familiar? Everyone in here I know has got this verse memorized. And if I told you to stand up, you could quote it, couldn't you? I'll give you another week. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, for he, God, hath made him, who? Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is the gospel. There wasn't one more, but that's the only verse of Scripture in all the Bible. That's the gospel. And that is this story. Joseph made Benjamin to be sin for these sons of Jacob, so that they, Benjamin, who knew no sin, so that these sons of Jacob go free. This is the gospel. So he devised this plan. All right, verses 3 through 5. Now, as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And then when they were gone out of the city, not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, again, it's the steward that does it all. He said, up, follow after these men, overtake them. Lay hold on them, apprehend them, arrest them, and say unto them, now, he said, speak rough to them. They got to be convicted. Say, why have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this, or do you have that cup which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth, why have you done evil and so doing? And so he did. Joseph commanded the steward. So, and follow, overtake, and convince them of sin. God the Father sends His Holy Spirit to all of His elect, all of His chosen ones, Spirit of Christ. Now, He follows us all the days of our life. You know that everything in our life from the day we're born, or even before that, is leading up to the day of our redemption. You know that? Everything, yes, works together. All things. Can you look back in your life and see all the things that God did to bring you to where you are now? Huh? It's amazing. It's amazing. I've told you some of my story. Just some of it. Not all of it. And you could tell the same thing. God's Holy Spirit follows us all the days of our life. Not just that, He leads, guides, protects, hedges us about, allows whatever needs to be allowed. Right? And then finally, in the fullness of time, God's purpose overtakes us, stops us in our wild career. John Newton wrote that. Stop my wild career. Almighty love, arrest that man. Overtake him. He's gone on long enough. Now turn him, and he'll be turned. Overtake him. Lay hold on him. Convict him. And this is what our Lord said in John 14. He said, the Father sends the Comforter. He sends the Comforter. And He said in John 16 that the Comforter, when He's come, He'll convict or convince them of what? First time. Sin. First time. Like this steward. First thing this steward was told to do was tell them, why have you done this? You're guilty. And he did that. He overtook them. Verse 6. And he overtook them and he spake unto them exact words. these same words. And God the Holy Spirit sends, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we first come to Christ, it's going to be as poor, helpless sinners in need of mercy. That's how every single one of God's elect comes to Him. It's not an offer of amnesty. It's not an offer of good things. It's not some plea bargain. It's total guilt and absolute unconditional surrender. The feet of the Lord, suing for mercy. Suing for broken. And that's what these fellows. But first, now, like always, when these men first heard of their guilt, they denied it. Every one of them denied it. Verse 7. They said unto him, why have you said this to us? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Well, we wouldn't do that. All that. No way. And at first, you know, when we first heard the gospel, when we heard what rotten sinners we were from God's word, we might have, you know, the flesh doesn't like that, does it? It's self-righteous, proud flesh, and we think, I'm not that bad. I've done some few things, not a few things. I may have stolen a watermelon or something. I got to thinking about that. You know, you've heard my dad say that a lot. A lot of old preachers say that, they say, you're not going to hell for stealing a watermelon. And I thought, why do they all use that saying? Stealing, because back then, that's all mean that she could get into, stealing watermelon. I got a picture of Darnell sitting on it. Well, it's not the stealing watermelon. The fellow said, I'm not that bad. I may have stolen a watermelon or two, but I'm not hell deserving. No good worm and a dog like you're calling me, preacher. Not me. There's some good in me. Hey, I've got a little bit of good in me. I'm not as bad as that man now. But now when God the Holy Spirit ends His work, everyone says to a man, I'm the chief of sinners. To a woman. There's only one argument. Brother Ron Trabant said there's only going to be one argument in heaven. That's over who's the chief sinner. We're all going to claim that title. Chief of sinners. But at first, man, not us. No, not me. Not me. Simeon, not me. Levi, not me. No, not me. Not me. Look at verse 9 and 10. Well, they said, now here's what their words. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's monument. Even they said the law, then let him die, and we'll be thy monument. And the steward said, okay, it's going to be just like you said. Okay, according unto your words, he with whom it is found shall be my servant. But you'll be blameless. That's the law. Good with you? My. All right, now look at verse 11 and 12. So they speedily, every one of them hurried up, got their sacks down to the ground, and opened every man his sack, and they searched. And they were looking for the cut, looking for the guilt, looking for sin. And they searched every man, beginning with the oldest, and it stopped with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. The only one that didn't deserve it. He couldn't find it in any of the rest of them. Well, the cup, what is it? The silver cup. Verse 5 tells us this. Here's a little clue. Is not this the cup in which my Lord drinketh? Do you remember our Lord saying this? When Peter or someone tried to stop him from going to Jerusalem to be killed, he said, "The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Remember that? The wine press, the cup of God's wrath, the cup of His indignation, the Scripture says, was given to Christ. I never forget, as a young believer, hearing a very young preacher. Young preacher, man, was about 24 years old at the time, getting up and vividly describing what it was like for Christ to drink the cup of God's wrath. And I'll never forget this day. Vividly described the wretchedness and filth and pollution of his sin, the poison, the iniquity, and all of the wrath of God, the indignation of God against sin, the hatred of God against sin, and Christ taking that willingly and drinking every drop of it. The cup which my Father has given me of God's wrath, of God's judgment. Do you remember when he was in the garden praying? And right before he was to go to Calvary's cross and go through hell, a bloody hell, being forsaken by God and having all that shame and on him, pain and affliction. You remember what he said in the garden, what he prayed in the garden? "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." The cup he had to drink. It was given to Christ. Nobody could drink it but him. It had to be. It's called a silver cup. Why? You tabernacle teachers. What was silver in the tabernacle? Huh? Everything that spoke of redemption. The price of redemption. The people were to bring silver. It was the price of their redemption. The sockets upon which the pillars were stuck down in the ground, the pillars of the gates, the pillars of the temple, everything rested. Everything was supported. Everything. The very foundation and support of all that tabernacle, that work of redemption, was set in silver. That's the price of redemption. That's the blood of Christ. Silver. Silver. And it says, "The silver cup by which he divineth." Do you see that? "By which he judgeth." All the purposes, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the mysteries, everything in this book is related, points to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption. That's a silver cup. Price of redemption, cup of his wrath. That amazing silver cup. Well, it says when these men saw Benjamin's guilt. Look at it. Now they rent their clothes. Now, if we were talking back in the study about how amazing these stories are, how God, this Barbara, God wrote this book. Only God could have written such a marvelously complex and perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every aspect, every word, every story, every symbol, every single thing points to Christ, doesn't it? Everything Joseph said. We start browsing through the next couple of chapters. You're going to be amazed. How many verses of Scripture come to mind? Everything that Christ said. It all points to Him. This is God's Word. God's Word. Benjamin. Now, if a man had written this story, now Benjamin's innocent. If a man had written this story, he'd have had Benjamin defending himself. Huh? Wouldn't he? I didn't do this. I didn't do that. No way I'm guilty. But Benjamin doesn't say. Benjamin uttered not a word. Open not. Why? Because that's what it says of our Lord. Huh? It's been me. I'm not guilty. No, I didn't do this. He's guilty. And they all know. Well, when they saw, now, when they finally saw, this is the breaking point. This is what finally broke these men, brought them down into the dust at Joseph's feet. When they saw the cup in Benjamin's sack, they rent their clothes. And they returned to the city. And boy, they had to go back and face Joseph. And they didn't come this time like they came the first time. How do you reckon they were all coming back to Joseph this time? With their heads bowed. Guilty. Hopeless. Helpless. Condemned. Ready to die. They've been caught. Verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. And he was yet there. He's there. Yeah, he's seated. Not there. The right hand of Pharaoh. He's always there. He was yet there. And what did they do? They fell before him on the ground. They fell before him. Now, you remember the first time they came, all they wanted was corn. And in mock humility and in mock obeisance, oh, our Lord the King, you know, we need corn. Not now. This is genuine. This is from the heart. They are stripped. They're broken. They're guilty. They're hopeless, helpless, condemned. And they follow. Nobody had to tell them, now, repeat after us. I'm going to have you pray the sinner's prayer. Huh? Oh, they knew what to do. Now bow your head. Well, and every head is bowed. That's one fake trying to tell a bunch of other fakes what to do. You know what? You don't have to tell a Holy Spirit convicted sinner to bow his head. You don't have to tell a Holy Spirit convicted sinner to say, God be merciful. They came and they bowed before him on the ground. And Joseph said, now hear Joseph's words to them. What have you done? What have you done? What deed is this that you've done? Don't you know? What you not? Such a man as I, don't you know who I am? That I can certainly define, I can judge you, I can put you to death right now. I know you, he said. I know you to the man. They know now, don't they? You remember before when they were saying, who's doing this? Who's doing this? But I'm saying they couldn't get by with anything. Doesn't seem like they could get 10 paces out of town and something happened, you know. Who is doing this? Somebody is working on us. And the steward, remember the steward was one that said, it's God that's doing this. See, these men have got to know themselves to be what they are. And at the mercy of the King, the Lord. So they did. They fell down, and Joseph again speaks very strongly, very hardly to them. "Don't you know who I am, what I can do to you?" And Judah said, verse 16, Judah. Now here's the answer of every believer, every saint who bows before the Lord Jesus Christ, in search of seeking salvation, seeking mercy. Here's the answer. Here's the sinner's prayer. That the Holy Spirit did. Look at it. What shall we say? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God has found out about her. Reveal him. No more excuses, brother. No more pleas. No more justifying itself, Lord. No more. Nothing more to say. But guilty. We are thy servant, my Lord's servant, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. We are servants. Do what seems good in your sight. And here's Joseph's wisdom. And he said, "God forbid that I should do so," or that is, hold you accountable. Just like the law said, remember? The man in whose hand the cup is found. The guilty one. As for you, you go in peace to the Father. Could you get up and finish this story? Huh? Could you tell what that means? Understand what thou readest? I know you do. Christ, again, was made sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God placed on him the iniquity of us all. The chastisement of our what? Peace was laid on him. For he is our peace. He made peace by the blood of his Son. By his stripes we're healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. And God held him accountable in the stead of us. We go in peace to the Father. All right. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll finish this up. Joseph cannot refrain himself any longer. Now these men are broken. All because of Benjamin. They're broken. They're asking for mercy. And oh, is Joseph going to show mercy? Abundant mercy. And life. More and more. All right, let's pray. Stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, we marvel at your word. It is without doubt. We are persuaded and convinced that it is the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel preached unto us, the gospel of our redemption, the good news of salvation in Christ, who has made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now we thank you for the beloved Son and his redemption. And we met tonight to worship and give thanks and praise you and your wisdom, marvelous wisdom, and the glory of your grace that's found in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.